Okay, I think we have reached 1 p.m. So then I welcome all of you to the second question and answer session. So we'll start with the written questions.
We have got six Kamatahan reports today, Bhante. I will read. Venerable Bhante, when practicing Vedananupassana, I am focusing on the pain of my leg, body, etc. It's of my body, not on someone else. I can see the pain coming and going. So, the impermanence nature I can understand, hence the dukkha. But, since it is my body pain, I feel the concept of myself. How can I practice vipassana with myself concept here? Kindly explain.
Let us start, actually, we are fading away. At the beginning, we start with myself. So, this is my pain, this is my body, I am suffering. So, actually, Buddha mentioned, when we consider the typical world beings, so they are having two types of pain. So, when there is some physical pain is going on, that is the one pain, one type of pain. And on top of that, one will add what? The mental pain. So, because as this has mentioned, so we are adding another dart, actually, Buddha in the Dart Sutta, the Salla Sutta, Buddha mentioned then. So typically, whenever there is a physical pain is available, the normal person, unlearned person, actually he had automatically another pain, that's a kind of a personal pain, adding a mental pain on top of that physical pain, then therefore he has two types of pain. So it's more suffering. But on the other hand, when someone is well learned, well trained and practicing vipassana, so he is trying to have a kind of a distance between this physical pain and his observation. So therefore, his mental pain is very much less, almost absent, and he only experiences the physical pain. So therefore, I mean, it may not happen immediately, but as we continue our practice, slowly we are developing that kind of a detached observation. Pain is there. It may be painful. It may be really piercing, but still you can bear it. You can endure it. You can patiently be with it, without having a mental pain. So that is what we need to develop. So we can't actually avoid the physical pain. That is inherent to ourselves, because this body is subjected to all these problems, illnesses and all diseases, etc. So whenever these things happen, so try not to have that mental pain adding onto the picture. So that is what we need to practice. So therefore, it may happen slowly. So we can't expect everything happen immediately. But slowly, as we continue our practice, we may get that capacity, we may get that opportunity to keep the physical pain as it is without adding on top of that, without adding any personal suffering onto that. So that is the practice we need to do. Yeah.
Report number 2, Teruvan Saranai. Dear Swami in Mahansa, when I do walking meditation, after about 20 minutes, my feet seem to be walking automatically and seem detached from the body. Only the upper part of the body seems attached to me and I can think of other things, while the lower part seems separate and walks on its own. Can you please explain this, Swami Mohansa? Thank you.
So your body has now divided. So it's good. So, but it's in a way good, because we consider our body as one unit, as we discussed even on yesterday. So typically we had the perception that this body is one unit, it belongs to me, this is myself. So that is the perception we typically have. But later, as you are now slowly moving forward, so you can allow the body to walk. So it is no more your body, it's a body, isn't it? I mean, it's a body, it is simply walking. You are basically trying to observe while as being an outsider, as we discussed exactly on yesterday. So this is where we are slowly beginning this detachment, kind of a separation between the body as well as our observation. So let it happen. So people may experience or perceive it differently. Say one may experience it like body is very much like skeleton, simply walking a skeleton, and you are simply observing. Maybe another person may observe like body is very much like paddling a bike, and you are simply observing. Someone might say very much like having a boat, and you are experienced. Different perceptions are there. It's good. So rather than thinking that I am walking, I am so and so, now you are simplifying your experience. Okay, this body, nothing but kind of a board, nothing but kind of a bike, kind of a skeleton, simply take care of its own walking and just observe. So let it happen. So I mean, let it happen rather than try to sort of exactly find out the reason. So typically what happens is whenever we are having some sort of experience, we are entangled in it. We are inside it. Then we are having very kind of a subjective experience, and we don't know how to detach from it. We don't know how to come out of it. But the Satipatthana practice helps us to come out of it and observe as a second person. So that is the importance. So then you are not suffering as we discussed. So bodily pain is there, but you are no more there. You are as a separate observer. And we can't say as an observer also, then you are adding another person there. But for the explanation, I am telling as an observer, but there is no observer either. Observing is there. Observing is there. It's also a mental process. So that mental process and the physical process are there. So two separate processes are there. That's all. So it's interesting. I mean, Buddha in Kalakarama Sutta, so Buddha very beautifully mentioned there is no something called thing there. There's something outside thing. We call it as something. And then there is someone. Right? So there is someone in between. Oh, likewise, many different ways that we logically build. So they all deny. There is no person that you can attribute it to any of these units. So you can separate the whole experience into different categories, and at each point you can recognize, okay, this is me, or this is me, this is me. Buddha deny all this. There is no observer even. So therefore, these things, rather than simply believing, we need to question ourselves while we are going through our practice. So where can I find myself? Where the feeling of I comes out? Where am I creating it? So this personification, the preparation, where does it happen? So we can check ourselves. Where this I comes to the picture? But assume that we are simply observing the breath. So breathing happens by itself using as a typical physical process, and you may be observing. So where is I? Where do you create I? So you can question actually. So when you are creating I, you can observe that as another kind of a thought. There's a kind of I making thought happens. So if you are able to recognize that I making thought and let go of that, then still the continuity is there. I mean, the process may happen, but no I making. Very interesting.
Report number 3, Theruvan Saranai. Dear Swamin Vahansa, yesterday during the Dhamma sermon, you explained about hearing a noise, seeing a beautiful sight, and not making a prapancha about it. The examples you gave were a dog barking, the generator noise, and Mahakasapa Thero's fireflies. If so, the recognition of a dog's bark when you hear the noise, the recognition of generator's noise when you hear that noise, and that recognition of light as fireflies' light, doesn't these also become a prapancha? Can we recognize and stop at that level? If so, that is easier than hearing a noise and stop making prapancha. Because of the time, we can recognize noises almost immediately. Please explain, dear Swamin Mahansa, Theruvan Sarana.
Yeah, actually, prapancha is little developed level of thinking, more kind of obsessive type of thing. Say, for example, mere recognition does not be considered as prapancha. Say, for example, even the Buddha, this is a kind of a process very beautifully explained by Patakunda Jnananda Bhante. So, actually, giving the proper analysis of the Madhupindika Sutta is in Majjhima Nikaya. So, the whole process happens in three stages. The first stage is very much like cause and effect. Say, chakkuñca paticca rūpeccu uppajjati cakkhuviññāna dinnan sangati passu passapaccā vedanā. So all these things are conditions. So when I contact with say kind of a sight, with the knowing happens, eye consciousness arises. When this all three happens again and again, altogether we consider kind of a contact, passa is there. So it produces feeling. So all this pha is a kind of a causal reaction. That's it. It's common to everyone. Even to the Buddha, it is there. And then we put to the picture. We put ourselves to the picture. Then, yang vedeti tang sanjanati. Now I recognize, okay, what is there? What is this person? Or rather, what is this feeling? Is it a painful feeling? Assume it's a painful feeling. So I'm now a little bit triggered about it, more interested about it, and now we are trying to explore about it, try to investigate about it. Now I am coming to the picture. Yang vedeti tang sanjana. Yang sanjanati tang itakketi. Now I am thinking about it. Yang itakketi tang papancheti. Now I am thinking in many different directions, not in a single direction, but in many different directions I am thinking from this direction to the past, to the future, to the eyes, to the ears. So many thinking going on and on. Ultimately, now this is the second part. I am at the picture and I am initiating the whole thing now. Now things are under my control. The third stage is where the papancha very much like overwhelm me. Now I am kind of a victim. Yam papancha eti tato nidanam bhikkhu papancha sanya sankha samudacharam. Atitanagata pachyuppanne su chakku vinyaye su rupesu. Now, with respect to all different kinds of say sight, sound, smells, taste, maybe attribute past, present, future. Now I am thinking. So I am a victim of thinking. Now you can't stop yourself. So you are the one initiated. But now you are a victim. So this is the level we consider as papancha, not the initial stage. Initial stage we can't stop. It's a natural process. The second stage we can limit. Maybe. That ditya ditta mattam bhavissati, that is the second stage we can call. The third stage, definitely we have to stop. The papancha level. Where we become a victim of the process. So therefore, mere recognition we can't consider as a papancha. Recognition is possible. Okay, when I'm recognizing you as a man, as a woman, likewise. So there's a mere recognition is there. But even to that end, I mean, that may not need to make a kind of a thought even. I mean, it's obvious, no? When you are simply looking, I can recognize, right? So who is the man, who is the woman, I can recognize. It doesn't require even a thought. So definitely there is no thinking process initiated, but rather mere recognition is there. So very much like we are coming to the very fundamental levels without going into more detailed analytical thinking, proliferation, obsessive thinking and all those kinds of things. But it's a very limited recognition. Therefore, we don't need to worry thinking that still I am recognizing or something like that. You don't need to stop that. So that is that, I mean. But on the other hand, when your mind is empty, so you can hear, no? Still you can feel, still you can sense, but the mind is empty. Do you agree with me? Mind is empty, no thoughts at all, but you are not dead. I mean, we are fully aware. fully alert, but no thoughts. So without thoughts, still the recognition is there. So I feel therefore no problem being in that level, in being in that move, that mode. So actually this John Kabat-Zinn, he introduces in modern terms, so he recognized two stages, doing mode and being mode. So typically we are in doing mode. We do a lot of things. When we see something, we add to that and we do things. We write a note, we write a poem, we write an article, because we have seen something. We have seen the moon. Oh, this moon is like her face. Oh. Now I am writing a poem. So I am doing something. But you can simply be. I mean, it's a moon. That's it. Simply be with it.
For how long can you be like?
Forever. Possible. Till it is necessary. I mean, say, that is what Buddha mentioned, kind of mastery of thinking. When it is necessary, you can think. When it is not necessary, you can be silent. that should be our goal, kind of a target that we have to aim.
Vinaya reconstruction means mind is very pure or not pure.
That's the thing. I mean, this is something now say mere recognition, but not thought provoking. Recognition is there, but not thought provoking.
We are not thinking anything, just understanding what is the thing only. It means our mind is pure.
We can say so, no? I mean, because if there is. Exactly.
It's neutral.
Neutral. Kind of a neutral observation is there. Other than that, I mean, because now if it has to be wholesome or unwholesome, we have to have a thought. Without a thought, can we say, I am making a karma or making something? Karma. So intentional thinking, intentional talking, intentional working, right? So then only we get on to some karma, kind of a heavy action. So that heavy action is not available now. So it's a mere recognition, that's it. So therefore, we can't simply say complete avoidance of recognition. So then it is a little bit like you are unconscious. Definitely.
Without any good or bad feeling, just
recognize. Because actually, when consider the level of perception, that is where Buddha explained it using that na sanya sanyi, na visanya sanyi, nopi asanyi, na vibhuta sanyi, evan sametasya vibhuti rupam sanya nidanani papancha sanyi. Na sanya sanyi. Now, that means, so typically when we see someone, so we are putting so much other things to the picture and we develop a lot of mundane type of group of sanya. Lot of sanya, right? So Buddha mentioned such is not there. Na sanya sanya. The typical mundane collection of sanya is not there. Na sanya sanya. Nopi asanya. Like in the asanya is very much like you are not conscious at all. You are like a log. You are not conscious. Even that is not the point. So he is denying all these. You don't have the typical mundane complicated mode of sanya. Perception, so many sanya. This is also not there. Then you are not totally unconscious. That is also not the point. Nopi asanya. No, vibhuta sanya. You have come. It is not that you are completely stopped having sanya. That is what we are talking, right? So it is very much like you are dead. You have completely stopped that. But your mind is very active. So you can't say, therefore, it is not the. You can't say it is vibhuta sanya. So vibhuta sanya means you have completely stopped generating any sanya. Even that is not the case. Na vibhuta sanyi, na sanya sanyi, na visanya sanyi, nopi asanyi, na vibhuta sanyi. Evan sametasa vibhuti rupam. So in that way, so you can penetrate the rupa, you can penetrate the material. So sanya nidana hi papancha sanya. Now sanya is the one as a kind of a root cause of proper, I mean, generating papancha. But you are keeping it to that level, root level, without generating papancha. I mean, it's a kind of a very, I mean, very sense, very, very delicate balance in a way.
In that case, do we have
to say like that? Yes. Now, assume, say, if your mind doesn't employ any thought, so you can't say it is very much gone to any extreme, right? Not go to the upper extreme or to the lower extreme. It's very much maintaining its own base level, the fundamental or the most primordial level. So, pabassara nidanchi pitkave chittang means that it is not polluted. It is maintaining its own pure state. But it doesn't mean that you are insane, you are unconscious, so you can't recognize. It doesn't indicate that, but you are fully conscious. But not, I mean, if necessary, you can think. But still, now on the other hand, now when arahants are considered, so they are also thinking. Okay, necessarily they are thinking, they are talking. That is also really argued. say, Arahant, he assumed that he is going to village Pindapat. And then he come and tell another monk, okay, somebody has given me dana. Have to tell like that, no? And then I have given a sermon. So he's referring himself as I. So what do you think? Is he having the I view? The first. That's the point. That's the point I want to highlight. So Buddha mentioned, so they know this is merely a concept. Knowing these are merely concepts, these are merely words, languages, they are using it as a tool. That's all. They don't take it too seriously, thinking there is a person here. So therefore, we don't need to say that Arahants are losing their prabhasara's mind merely because when they are using a language. I mean, they are talking, they are preaching, and they are doing maybe daily course. It doesn't mean they lose their purity. They may be using all these conceptual tools, knowing that these are conceptual tools. So it is being argued, it's really mentioned in the Arahanta Sutta, Aham vadanti iti, aham vadanti iti piso vadeya, mamam vadanti iti piso vadeya, loke samanya kusalo viditta vohara mattena so vohareya. Somebody say that I talk to him, he talk to me. So likewise, the typical grammar is there. Loke samanya kusalo viditta, knowing the world convention as it is. Vohara mattena se de, vohara mattena so vohareya. Just for the mere say language, for the communication, you are using it. That's it. No, that's right. Arahant is putting I into the picture. But he is not recognizing it as a person. But he's referring, this maybe five aggregates, he's referring as I. That is how the other people may understand. Then he's using the same terminology.
Just as a word only.
Exactly.
One thing,
yeah.
To go further, there are so many instances in the Sikkapitaka and also in the Theravada, Arahants and even Buddha. Advanced nature.
Yes.
Beautiful language.
Exactly.
But they don't achieve it.
Exactly. So they don't go and grasp it. That's what the yesterday's simile. Yeah, yesterday's simile that we discussing about that when by Arahant Kassapa. So he's admiring the nature, seeing the fireflies during the night. So that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So I mean, not he is not going and grasping it and taking a picture. So actually, we can't say therefore they are not. I mean, they are not being able to appreciate the nature. I mean, they may fully appreciate the nature. They are simply part of the nature. Yeah, part of the nature.
Reading modern poet can write a poem like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So therefore, we don't need to think that being an Arahant is being a kind of a. Say that's what yesterday I mentioned, kind of emotional, callous kind of a person. Rather, he's fully functional human being, and he may not add his own perceptions into the picture, but he is enjoying the thing to the fully pure form.
Same lesson with Dharmachiri was learned.
Dharmachiri? So that is the advice. Yeah, that's the advice Buddha given to him. So we got to restrain ourselves to that level. So you are seeing and just seeing, that's it. Don't go into it or don't grasp it. Don't go inside it. But just see, that's it.
It's like a drop of water
on a lotus leaf. Yeah. So it is not being really mixed with it. So it's maintaining kind of a separation, but very close. It's with it. Very much like with it, but separate. I mean, we don't need to think about it, how to achieve and my... Then another proliferation. Just practice. No, the practice will bring you there. Practice will take you there. So that is the beauty of the Dhamma. Logically thinking will make you confused. I'm sure about it. So through thinking, one can never become an Arahant. Can go to... Sure. Right.
Report number 4, Theruvan Saranai. Dear Bhante, I wish to get a clarification of the following Dharma codes. Nirvana is Anidassana and have no doubt about it. I have heard codes to say Vijnana Anidassana. Is Vijnana Sankata? We experience form and I together brings consciousness of I, etc., etc. Also have listened to sermons where it is called momentary Nirvana. If it is explained, the interconnection of these will be very pleased. We are so convinced that you, Bhante, is so skilled to convert even an unconnected question to a good Dhamma explanation. We are so delighted to listen to you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. True, Bhante.
Put me very high.
Not at Murunga.
Murunga. Fortunately, no Murunga. On the roof. So Anidassana Vijnana, Nibbana, and what else?
Is Vijnana Sankara?
No, actually, yeah. Vijnana, actually, we can call as yes, two forms. Actually, when we consider, say, eye consciousness, nose consciousness, ear consciousness, and all these kinds of consciousness are conditioned consciousness, Sankara Vijnana. So they have causes. So there are causes for them to arise. Eye and the form generates eye consciousness. Ear and sound generate ear consciousness. So nose and smell generate nose consciousness. So likewise, so this is the typical level of consciousness that we all experience. So these are conditioned consciousness. And on top of that, we have the mind consciousness, mano vijnana. So that is the mostly available, we can say. Even when eye consciousness is there, immediately there are many mind consciousness following, right? So it's complicate the whole picture. So, but when it comes to the Anidassana Vijnana, we can't say it is conditioned consciousness. So now any other consciousness, very much like especially the mind consciousness, it is being entangled with the name and form. Nama Rupa Paccaya Vijnana. So always name and form is there. Suppose there is a kind of an image going on in your mind, kind of a mental image. So whenever you are giving some emphasis to it, whenever you are getting entangled into it, so that indicates some sort of a entangled consciousness. So consciousness and this name and form go hand in hand, very coupled, right? Interdependent. That is the condition level. Now with the vipassana practice, we are able to very much like have a kind of a temporary stop to this continuity, so this condition process. So now there is assumed that for a moment you don't have any name and form. No name and form. Then where is consciousness? I mean, the name and form is a prerequisite for the existence of the conditioned consciousness. If there is no name and form, no consciousness. No consciousness does not mean that you are kind of blunt anyway. You are fully aware. So that awareness, pure awareness, we can call as the Anidassana Vijnana. We are the unestablished consciousness. Consciousness is, you are fully conscious, but it is not established at any place. It does not establish on the eye or form or sound or ear or whatever it is. It's not established anywhere. Now, I just give you a beautiful simile that Buddha is referring. So, we discussed this some time back. Say, one time, so Buddha is giving a simile of a kind of a house. So, that house has only four walls. Kind of a very high house. It has four walls. Each wall is directed to each direction. Say, one wall directed to the north direction, another wall directed to the, say, east direction, another wall directed to the south direction, another wall directed to the west direction. Now, Buddha is asking a question. Now, there are four these windows as well. During the morning, what happened? The sun is arising, sunrise happened, and then there's a sunbeam coming through which window? East window, right? where is it going and hitting?
West
wall. Okay, now it will hit the west wall. So he asked the question, monks, from the monks, where are this sunbeam coming from the this window of this east wall? Where does it hit? But the monks answered, okay, it is within the west wall. Then Buddha asked, if the west wall is not available, where is it going to hit?
Ground.
Ground is there. So you remove the wall, how it is going and hitting the ground. Good. Now Buddha is asking, if the ground is not there, water. So you can see you can see their scientific knowledge. I mean, even they remove the earth layer, water is there. Water surface is there. So the monks are answering, okay, it will hit the water. Then what's the next question? No, water is not there. Then monks are answering, it is not established. It's not established. It does not mean it is not there. I mean, it's there, but not established. It's a very beautiful simile. So therefore, our mind fully aware, but not established. So you have a kind of field of awareness. You have a kind of field of awareness, but there is nothing to represent or nothing to reflect. Awareness is there. So that is what basically happening when the yogi is practicing. So typically what happens is whenever something coming to the field of awareness, we are immediately catching it as beautiful, good, and blah, 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 and then holding it, name and form, and all conditionality happens. But now that craving is not there. Attachment is not there. But the awareness is there. It's a nature of the mind. So as human beings, as any being, so we all inherit that consciousness. The awareness, it's an inherited property, quality. So we can't deny that. And only at the death we may lose it. Till we die, we have the consciousness. It doesn't mean that we have to have a name and form always entangled with it. So the arahants maybe, they are fully conscious, but no entanglement with the name and form. Therefore, what we call as the consciousness has become unmanifested, unestablished. That is what we call as anudassana. So therefore, so it's a fully functional consciousness, but not conditioned, not holding anything, not grasping anything, not entangled with anything, kind of pure consciousness. So Buddha is showing the path to come to that kind of understanding, experience. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To the conscious. If we don't put ourselves in the conscious, nothing will. It will not be contaminated.
Yeah, I mean, putting I into the picture means already we are ignorant.
We are contaminated.
Contaminated, exactly. Exactly.
But as far as we are not putting I into any matter, it means we are keeping the neutral.
Exactly. We can say so. I mean, it doesn't mean that the existing I we are putting, rather we are making I because of our ignorance.
Our thoughts, our imagination.
Exactly. Now that is why this avijja paccha sankhara. So whenever ignorance is there, we do all the manipulations, we do all the contamination, we do all the constructions. Then the conditioned consciousness is established.
Yes.
You can't stop it. So we have come, we have prepared all the necessary causes, conditions, then immediately the link happens. But assume that someone is free from ignorance. Then no constructions. It's not adding anything. That's it. So you are not adding anything to it. Then consciousness and name and form, that cycle cannot follow. So that Padasamuppada cannot follow in that direction. Samudaya side, the construction side cannot flow.
As far as we are trying to put ourselves into the matters, if we are trying to stop it, we can...
Ultimately,
got that.
Once we can stop
these thinking pattern also.
Yes.
But have to do it
systematically. Yes, exactly. That's why I mentioned, so rather than trying to philosophically understanding, so no point. let it happen naturally as a true practice, then you slowly understand, okay, while I am at my, say, walking path, and I am fully aware, but no thoughts have happened. That is the beginning. But you understand, okay, there is a kind of awareness is there, but no need to have thoughts. So I can't say it's still we have come to that anidassana vijnana. We may not, but at least we are making kind of a significant progress there. So
now I'm trying to stop meddling with other vehicles matter. Suppose someone is doing something benefited him person bad thing. Even then should I not to speak?
It's up to you.
I mean, according to this pattern of thinking.
No, that's where we need to find out the proper time and whether it is the proper. I mean, I am the person to intervene, and likewise, you can little have a kind of emotional break there, rather than immediately reacting to the situation. So mindfulness help us to have that level. They are rather, I mean, typically what happens is we emotionally jump to the picture.
Yeah.
So now that may not happen, but you can observe what is really going on. If it is really necessary for you to intervene and you to advise, then you go and do it.
Yeah.
But if you feel that it's not necessary, then you will manage it. Yeah.
At set points.
That is the aftermath. I mean, after you did it, then I have another cycle going on. Very complicated. yeah. Many complications come later.
Little bit further, I want to clarify this momentary.
Momentary nibbana. Yes. So that's the thing. So whenever there is no grasping, at least for a moment, you can say it's a kind of a momentary nibbana. So I mean, say Buddha called it as tadanga nibbuti. Tadanga nibbuti means you are keeping the mind very calm, quiet, tranquil, without any grasping, but only for a short moment. Till the conditions are properly satisfied, you are maintaining proper balance, mind is there. Tadanga nibbuti. But beautiful point is, you need to expand it. You need to expand this. So you may not achieve immediately the full-fledged nibbana. If we think that immediately, so say you are with all the billions of defilements, 1 second you are done, boom. Full-fledged nibbana, never. It may not happen. So what Buddha mentioned is, experiencing a momentary nibbana as you are all doing, so maybe short period. Now you are trying to prolong it. Okay, let me have it for another minute. But still the asavas may be there. The potential is there to generate defilement. So slowly you are eliminating those potentials, ultimately one day, completely eradicated them, then fully purified. The purification, therefore purification, we can say kind of a stage-wise, kind of a step-wise process.
Is it the Prabhasara?
Sitta, that is momentarily we are experiencing Prabhasara mind, pure mind, only for a short moment. But now you have at least touched that for a moment. Now we are trying to extend it for another moment. Extend it to another moment. So likewise, practically we have to develop it.
There's I think bhavana also with that same thing.
So we have to do bhavana.
I think
yes, yeah. That's why Buddha mentioned, if someone believes me that we all as human beings have that potential, then for him, I call there as a bhavana. Because he trusts me, even though at the moment his mind is fully polluted, but he trusts me. I trust that Buddha has mentioned it. Still for me, even though I have a lot of defilements, still Buddha mentioned, still myself have this prabhasara chitta. So So he's now putting himself to the practice. Therefore, Buddha mentioned, for that person who believes me, who trusts me, who have faith on me, he get on to the practice. Practically, he's now trying. So, I mean, so we have to, that is fine, very much like we first have some faith with the Buddha to his teaching, and then we are putting ourselves to the practice, and then maybe temporarily, time to time, we experience that pure mind. Then we are very much like convinced, okay, it's true. I need to now practice further. This is the path. So you get more and more convinced through your own practice. No more just believe in the Buddha. Then you yourself have experienced it. Yeah.
Excuse me, Mante.
Yeah.
Pabassara is when we are born, also mind is
pabassara. Can't say so.
Yeah, exactly. That is what we say. There is anusaya.
Yeah.
So
that is point. Now, even though we are temporarily experiencing pabassara chitta, it doesn't mean that we are completely 100% pabassara. So, I mean, kind of a temporary subsiding of the defilements, and the anusaya are not active at that level. But till we become arahants, we can't say we are with the fully fledged, say, pure mind. So, but I mean, we should not again completely underestimate. Even, say, someone is having, say, kind of a pure mind, still with subsided defilements. I mean, it is something. So, without it, you can't progress. No. Therefore, it's a kind of an achievement, we can say. So, with that, we have to develop further and further till we have the complete purification. So, purification may not happen immediately. So,
in the case of Hemakathera.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, in the Pañcadasika Sutta, so Buddha explained it in very beautiful simile, with how you are purifying, extracting gold. So you can't get pure gold immediately. So there are a lot of pollutants, I mean, unnecessary stuff in the soil. But you recognize there's a little percentage of gold is there, right? Then you go and do all the this thing. I mean, say you get a lot of garbage and then you remove the most gross part of the things, maybe the stones and all the unnecessary things, so you remove. That is one level of purification. Then you use another strainer with more refined things, filters, and you get another level of purification. Then you maybe even put it to a, what is that? And core. So, and then you boil it and burn it and heat it, and then you get another level of purification, right? Then you blow it to that again and again, and then ultimately you get the pure gold. Same simile Buddha is using for the mind purification. But gold is there. So you have to keep faith on that. So that's why, I mean, Buddha has given very practical examples, similes, in a way to convince us it is possible. So it is there. But at the moment, I may not be there, but potential is there. So that's why we have to keep on practicing till we are able to achieve it. Yeah.
Report number 5. Most Venerable Bhante, this is the experience during the morning sitting. I watched rising and falling of the abdomen. After few minutes, feeling of rising and falling is not felt, and then few thoughts come and go. Then a thoughtless time, but clearly know the surrounding noises such as vehicles passing. This doesn't disturb me at all. I feel I am on the surface, not on a deep concentration. Then there was some music heard from next door. Though I was not disturbed by it, I felt the sound was more intense than the vehicle noises on the road. Is it because I like music that I felt that my attention was caught by it? However, my calmness was intact. Then a thought came that I should look at rising and falling before I get caught up with the music. This was clearly a thought which I acted on. Is it correct to do that? I was not annoyed on music, but had a liking to be in that calm state. Please explain whether you go through this kind of feelings during calm state. Is the action on the thought of watching back on rising falling to keep the momentum is correct, or what should have been the correct approach? Teruvan Saranai.
Yeah, I think rising and falling helps us to develop mindfulness and clear comprehension. And once you are capable with any other thing, also you can be there. You don't need to return. And there are other sounds, sights and all these things are there. I mean, you don't need to again come back and return back to the rising and falling. Because rising and falling is another phenomenon. We are using it, that is, it is less harmful. So we can develop that detached observation through rising and falling. We can develop a fair amount of mindfulness concentration using that phenomena, that kamatahana. But later, once you are able to build a fair amount of, say, mindfulness and clear comprehension, you don't need to fully with that. Now you can play with other things as well. Now, that we need to do, we need to try it that. Is it possible for me to maintain kind of a, say, pure mind or kind of at least undefiled mind with another sound while I am going to sight? So that we need to try. So therefore, I mean, only if you feel that you are not confident and say still mind start to go and enjoy that and, you know, thinking and all things are happening, then you better return. Otherwise, just be there. Therefore, at the beginning, always it is advised to return back to the Mula Kamatahana because you are not yet, developed in a way. Still mindfulness is less, weak. But later, it's not a must to return. Yeah.
Report number 6. Swamin Vahansa. Navaka yogin vashayin bhavana kirimata sudusu kamatahan labadena lesa gauravayin illa sitimi. Sakman bhavanava ha paryanka bhavanava ආධුනික යෝගියෙක් වඩන්නේ කෙසේදයි පහදා දෙනමෙන් ඉල්ලමි. ස්තුති. තෙරුවන් සරණයි.
හොඳයි. අපිට ඕනනම් මේ පොඩ්ඩක් අර
මූලිකව
දාන්න පුළුවන්. මූලිකව තමයි මේක තියෙන්නේ තියෙනවා. ඒ කියන්නේ අපි මෙතන කරන්නේ නිම නිකන් සති මාත්‍රයක් මේ දිනු කරන එක. ඒ කියන්නේ සතිය වඩන්න උත්සාහන්ත වෙන්නේ. අපේ හිත සාමාන්‍යයෙන් වර්තමාන මොහොතේ ඉන්නේ අතීතයට යනවා, අනාගතයට යනවා, පියනවා, පයින්නවා, ඉතින් නටනවා. ප්‍රශ්න ගොඩක් තියෙනවා. ඉතින් අපි ඒකට පොඩි හික්මීමක් ඇති කරන්න මේ සාමාන්‍යයෙන් තියෙන සරල කටයුත්තක් පාවිච්චි කරමු. එකක් තමයි අපේ ඉරියව්ව පාවිච්චි කරන්නේ. ඒතර මේ දෙන කමතහන් අතිශය සරලයි. ඒක මම තියාගන්න. කියන්නේ කමතහන සරල නම් පමණයි අපිව ගැඹුරකට එක්කයන්. කමතහන සංකීර්ණ නම් ඉතින් සෝරි තමයි. එහෙනම් කමතහනේ සරල බව කියන එකෙන් අදහස් වෙන්නේ නැහැ හැබැයි මේක වඩන්න ලේසියි කිය. සරල හින්දම මාරි. මොකද අපේ හිත අතිපණ්ඩිතයිනේ. ලේසි නෑ හින්ද ඉතින් මේක කරගන්න. ඉතින් මේ කොහොම හරි ඉතින් නැවත ගිනල්ලා ඒකට දාන්න. ඉතින් අපේ හිත ආයෙ දුවනවා ගිනල්ලා ඉරියවට දාන්න. අපේ හිත ආයෙ දුවනවා ගිනල්ලා මේ හුස්ම ගැල්ලට දාන්න. අපේ හිත ආයෙ දුවනවා ගිනල්ලා පිම්බීම හැකිලිමට දාන්න. ඉතින් මේ මොකක් හරි එකක් අපිට තෝරගන්න පුළුවන්. පිම්බීම හැකිලිම නම් ඔන්න ඒක තෝරගන්න. නැත්නම් ආස්වාද ප්‍රසවාස නම් ඒක තෝරගන්න. නිකම්ම නිකම් ඉරියව්වේ සිහිය පාත්තුනම් ඒක තෝරගන්න. එහෙම කරගෙන යනකොට ඔන්න හිත ටිකක් මේ කියන දේ අහන්න ගන්න. මෙතනත් එක ඉන්න පටන් ගන්න. මේ වර්තමාන මොහොතේ සිද්ධ වෙන යම්සි ක්‍රියාවලියක් එක ඉන්න පටන් ගන්න. ඒක ලොකු achievement එකක් ඉන්නේ. මේ එතකොට අපිට තේරෙනවා දැන් නම් පොඩ්ඩක් මනුස්සය කියන දේ අහනවා වෙන වෙන දේවල් කල්පනා කරන්න යන්නේ නැහැ. පොඩ්ඩක් මං කියන දේ අහලා උස්පරන්නත් එක ඉන්න. ඉතින් මෙතනින් තමයි පටන් ගන්න තියෙන්නේ. සක්මණේදිත් කරන්නේ මේ වගේ දේවල්. සක්මණේ ඉතින් කැවිදිනකොට විවිධ දේවල් දැනෙනවා. පාඩුවලට දැනෙනවා. මේ දැනෙන දේවල් හරිම සරල දේවල්. කිසිම complicated දේවල් මෙතන නැහැ. ආගන්තුක දේවල් මොනවා කරන්නේ මේ ඔක්කොම දැනෙන දේවල්. අපි හැබැයි හත පහකට ගණන් ගන්න නැති දේවල්. කිසිසේත් වටනකමක් දෙන්නේ නැති දේවල්. ඒකම හැබැයි පෙන්නන්නත් තියෙන්නේ. ඉතින් ඒක තමයි ගණන් ගන්නත් තියෙන්නේ. ගොරෝසු ගති, තද ගති, බුරුල් ගති, උණුසුම් ගති, සිසිල් ගති. ඒව තමයි වෙන්නන්න තියෙන්නේ. ඒකටම ගණන් දානවා. ඒකටම ගණන් දානවා. අර සුදු පාන් කන්න වගේ තමයි. ඉංසාන්ස කියන්නේ ඒකනේ පුළුවන් නම් කාපම් බැන්නම් කාපම්. ඒක තමයි යනවා දානවා ඒක තමයි යනවා දානවා මොම මොම ගාවයක් කරනකොට ඔන්න දැන් ආයි පොඩ්ඩක් හිත කියන දේ ආන්න ගන්න දැන් අරකත් එක්ක ඉන්නවා ඒ දැනන දැනීමත් එක්ක ආ ඉන්න ගන්නවා ඊට පස්සේ තමයි ඔක ටිකක් ගැඹුරට යන්නේ මෙතන තියෙන ඒ අපිට දැනෙන දැනීම් වල තියෙන තව සියුම් ලක්ෂණ උකහා ගන්න උත්සාහන්ත හිතට පුංචි කුතුහලයක් දීලා තේරුම් ගන්න උත්සාහන් දෙනවා මෙතන මොකක්ද ඇත්ත වශයෙන්ම සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ කියලා නිකන් පුංචි කුතුහලකින් හොයන්න පටන් ගන්නවා. අන්න එතනින් තමයි එකපාරටින් අපි පොඩ්ඩක් නුවණ පැත්තකට අවධානය යොමු කරන්නේ. ඒත් අපි කරේ නිකන් පොඩ්ඩක් අර හිත හික්මවාගෙන හිත පොඩ්ඩක් සංසුන් කරගෙන මේ එක දිගට අරමුණක් විශ්ලේෂණය කරන්න පුළුවන් හැකියාව හදාගන්න. එහෙනම් හැකියාව හදාගත්තට පස්සේ නම් මේ විශ්ලේෂණය පටන් ගන්නවා. ඇත්ත වශයෙන්ම මෙතන මොකද්ද සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ කියන එක අපි හොයලා බලන්න ඕනේ. ඒක තමයි ඊට පස්සේ පටන් අරගෙන දිගට යන්නේ. ඉතින් එතනින් තමයි අපි පටන් ගන්න තියෙන්නේ. ඒ නිසා මම හිතන අලුතෙන් ආපෑයට මේ කියපු ටික ප්‍රමාණවත් කියලා කාට හරි යමින් මොන හරි තව එක දැනගන්න තියෙනවද කරන්න තේරෙන්නේ නැති බවක් එහෙම දැනෙනවද?
Request for the CD which we can play, you know, basic instructions.
පොඩ්ඩක් මේ අපේ CD එකකුත් තියෙනවා. මේක චුට්ටක් මේ චන්ද්‍රිකාවෙන් එන්න කිව්වා නම් මේ දාලා දෙයි.
Simple.
Yeah. ඒක පොඩ්ඩක් ඒ කියන්නේ ඒ ටිකක් ඉල්ල ගන්න. ඉල්ලගෙන ඒකත් චුට්ටක් අහන්න. එතකොට එතනමුත් අදහසක් ගන්න පුළුවන්. පටන් ගන්න තියෙන බොහොම සරල තැනකින් අපි ඉන්න තැනකින්. හැබැයි පොඩ පොඩ ගැඹුරට අරගෙන යන්න පුළුවන්. හොඳයි. එච්චරයි නේ ප්‍රශ්න.
Think that we were discussing now whether the matter and the
unsitter.
So what I feel is now even with the seeing that row of hands told that a single hand had been in early life, had been
a person.
So Buddha saw those hands, but it was not Vitte Vitta Matta. That we have to tell something about this. Mm. And so what I feel is you can think, but without tanha ditti. As long as you mana, of course, Dante, you have to become an arahant to
meditate
Shuddha mana. But for us, as long as if we think without tanha and ditti, she can think. Then it's loha.
So that's why we can that's what Buddha mentioned. So and very beautifully it is mentioned. If you refer to Vitakka Santhana Sutta, the last paragraph, Buddha very beautifully mentioned there, when it is necessary, he is capable of thinking. When it is not necessary, he is capable of not thinking. So that is the point. So for us, I mean, even when it is not necessary, we are thinking. So that is where we have gone wrong. I mean, when it is not necessary, just be quiet. Just be. Just enjoy the silence. But it is necessary, then you can think, no harm. So there's a benefit of thinking. If there's a benefit of thinking, okay, you think. And there also, I mean, mindfully you can think. So without making a eye, you can think. So while thinking, you can observe whether the person is going in the wrong directions. Because thinking is a kind of a tool, if we are not knowing its limits, it may go to the wrong direction. So then you are mindfully thinking, knowing its advantage, its benefit. And you think, get the purpose done, okay, again, calm down, silent. So then Buddha mentioned, so he is a master of thinking. Vitakka Vasita. Takkavasita is a master of thinking. When it is necessary, you know how to think. When it is not necessary, you know how to stop thinking. So, by doing that way, he can eradicate craving. He can eradicate conceit. And he can fully quench. He can attain Nibbana. So, therefore, having that kind of mastery of thinking is a kind of a prerequisite we have to have.
I think Buddha himself has said that mostly he has two vitakkas.
One is Keva Vitakka,
the other one is
Mitta
Vitakka.
One is the other one. What's the first
Kema
one? Kema. Kema. So actually, on some other things are also there. We can add here. Now, when Buddha mentioned, when there are certain experiences, say when you are going through certain feelings. There are feelings, those are appropriate to go through, and those are feelings which are not appropriate to go through. Say there are pleasurable feelings, which can be more prone to defilements, even though those are pleasurable feelings. There may be pleasurable feelings, those are wholesome and not prone to any defilements. And they are also, now we are selecting, we discard inappropriate, unwholesome type of feelings, but we assume that we are going through the wholesome kind of feelings. There are also distinguishes there with the mention the experience that you are having without thinking. Without vitakka vichara. So that is more sublime. So we are coming to a situation where the mind is fully operating. Again and again, you are putting yourself to the picture and again doing these contemplations. That is one level. But later, you stop that. You calm down. Relax. Buddha mentioned that is more sublime. So therefore, this comparatively we have to understand. So there are stages that we are thinking, we are again and again applying our mind, we get the benefit. And once we are capable, we can stop thinking, we can calm down. We can stop completely that applied mind and the exploration and just calm. So you can refer Vedha Vitakka Sutta. So there, Buddha mentioned, there are twofold. So the experience that one has with thinking and the experience without thinking. Experience without thinking is more sublime, more kind of tranquil.
You see, experience without thinking or being aware, how can
you? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So you are aware, of course. Yeah. Without thinking does not mean you are not aware. Awareness is there, but no thoughts. Yeah. You don't need to agitate the mind. So mind is fully calm, but aware. Okay. Aware.
Martin, ask a question, please. Now, Vitakka Sankhara Sutta gives four methods of calming and dealing with Vitakka. Those four, five, I don't quite understand two. That is Anyanimitta Manasikara and Asati Amanasikara. I feel that both are almost the same, but they can't be same because the sickness is that.
No, asati amanasikara means we don't reflect that, we don't look at it, something like that. No need. why you replace that? So that is the previous part. So I am looking at this now. I can't stop it. So I am looking at this. So this is the replacement. So now I am looking at it. Now instead of looking at it, I am just looking here, but nowhere. Even asati amanasikara. So yesterday, actually, today morning, that Buddha, this Rahulavada Sutta, in the Maharahulavada Sutta, so very beautifully Buddha advised Venerable Rahula, practice meditation like space. Space is not established. While preparing this slides only, I also stuck that point, because I was thinking that this sutta only referred the four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element, and the air element. I was thinking these four only. But later I found now it has mentioned this, even the space element. Space element is there, but with more valuable insight.
And more subtle.
More subtle. Yeah. It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Then it's Vedanta Vatsala.
Yeah.
Why? Without doing any kind. In Kaya Vipassana, you can get pains here and there, then you can practice Vedana. But supposing if you get pains, you are sitting or doing something or some shooting pain or something like that, can you practice Vedana Vipassana at that time also?
Can.
With that pain?
Can. That's why, I mean, we need to first have a kind of a undisturbed mind. So even when mosquitoes are there and you are not making kind of a resentment towards that insect, rather you consider only the pain. You are not attributing it to another person there, another being there, rather you consider also just the pain. Pain, that's all.
When I hear something, and sometimes, it's now it's just the hearing, and I try to stop now.
Sometimes if someone criticizes me or if someone says something that I don't like, it, then I try to stop at that. Just Panchas Kandya, this is not necessary. It's all mind-making things and try to stop. Is it some sort of meditation or is it just practicing something? Or
yeah, kind of a restrainment, we can say. You are using some intellectual knowledge to restrain yourself.
No, akusal there.
But the thing is, I mean, if you can really see the how the resentment, kind of a disagreement, how the dislike arising, then it is more interesting. Then you are more directly touched to the situation, rather than you are trying to artificially jump out of the picture, putting yourself, okay, this is just a panchaskanda. I mean, you are adding some borrowed knowledge, no?
Yeah.
But here, if you see, okay, someone is abusing me, someone is blaming me, now there's a kind of irritation arising in the mind.
Yes.
So look at that irritation.
Yes.
That is more direct.
Yes.
Good. So that is really interesting. Then you are not, you are using that difficult situation for your benefit.
Yes.
Yeah, for your practice.
I'm sorry, getting such an irritation because we prefer to have the way around. Imagine if somebody blames us, we are expecting some kindness from a person instead of the kindness. We are saving for the good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We get bad, we get irritated. Is that the reason? I mean,
could be. So that is what I mean. When we are closely examining what are the real causes, then you may recognize these kind of underneath the sort of very subtle defilements, kind of expectations we have.
Yes.
Tendencies we have. But the how it has manifested is as an irritation. First, we only can recognize the irritation. But later, as you are going further through your Yoniso Manasikara, probably you can understand, okay, there are very subtle desires. I expect kind of a calmness, kindness, but I got something different. So, expectation is there. So, likewise, you go to more deep understanding.
In my case, Bhante, I have very deep. I see in such instances it is rather than ego. It's my conceit that I expect certain things and so and so. I expect, I mean, that expectation is not
satisfied. I get irritated. Very true. Very true. I mean, very good. Exactly. So that is happening. I mean, now say when we are developing as say good people.
Yes.
So we expect some sort of respect, and we are now say with some say virtues, morality. So I am a monk, so I have to have some respect. The people have to respect me, and the juniors have to respect me. So likewise, we build, even with the spiritual qualities, we build ego in a way.
And when I see that perceived, it humbles me.
Definitely have to. Yeah.
When I see it.
Yeah. True. So that's what I mean. Now, I mean, you can see how Buddha putting it like. Now, Attukkhansana Paravambana. So, looking down another person, at the same time putting yourself up. So, Attukkhansana and then Paravambana. Attukkhansana is putting yourself up. Paravambana means you are putting another person down. Yeah. So, don't do that. So I'm putting myself out now. I have to be very careful.
I mindfulness.
Very fragile. It might become very fragile one thing.
Very fragile.
I began to see my cancer.
Yeah.
It is due to mindfulness.
So I mean, these are the areas that we slowly understand. At the beginning we won't get these kind of subtle understandings, insights. But at the beginning, we understand, okay, there's a lustful thought, there's an angry thought, there's a jealousy thought. So very, easy to understand then. But later we understand, okay, these things are coming due to various other very subtle causes.
I used to put the blame and fault always to the other side. Now I say, more fixed.
Bhante, if now, for example, say somebody is maybe abusing, But if it has just a sound only,
mm.
it happened to me about four or five months ago,
mm.
I was going to garbage, political election, to a particular spot
mm.
in our Indian.
Very smart.
Somebody shouted and saying, big businessman, go, Dandi Portman, Dandi Portman, Arayan, Arayan. So I just picked up.
Sound, just a sound. Good. So that's why, I mean, Venerable, so Buddha is addressing to Venerable Rahula, as we discussed in the morning. So, I mean, if we are able to maintain that kind of an attitude, okay, this earth, I mean, it doesn't complain even when we put shit to it, right? When we put the garbage to it. So earth is unaffected very much. So, what a powerful simile they are giving. So therefore, he is advising develop Rahula meditation like earth. So water, I mean, we wash even the very good things, but we most of the time we use water to wash the most dirty things. But water is unaffected. Develop Rahula meditation like water. Yeah. Yeah, he's like earth. Yeah, he's like earth. Mm. Yes. Can't remember the name, but it's when actually another person has accused him. Yeah, accused him of neglecting that person, and he's put me a short pen. yes. I can't remember the name of the sutta. Yeah, I mean, very beautiful. I mean, how even though they are the full-fledged arahants, and how humble they are. I mean, how very down to earth. I mean, that's why I feel that. I mean, it is not simply intellectual achievement. So it's go hand in hand with the good qualities. Yeah, good qualities. It's giving more support to these qualities. Then the meditation and all these insights may be more feasible. Otherwise, when you're having very hard kind of a, say, a tough kind of a mind, then it's very unlikely that you get very subtle insights.
Mm.
Right? So you have to have a kind of very pliable kind of a mind. On such environment, maybe the insights are possible. Hmm.
That's why Mahathiru often says, we like water.
Hmm. Hmm.
We like water.
Yeah. Yeah. We like water so that it can take any shape.
Any shape.
So now no power, so be like water.
Bhante, don't complain. You're permitting me to ask a small question.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
See, another 5 minutes?
Yeah. A small question about this. Rahula, the
mm-hmm.
sutra, you said that about the four elements we commonly know, and then it was extended to
space
more.
Space, yeah.
Then what is this 18 elements?
That's another way of explanation. Now, the six elements are the earth and water, fire, air, the space and the consciousness. But when it comes to the 18 elements, so we take form element, the chakku element, chakku vinyan. So these three are now. 3 into 6 bases, then it becomes 18. Another way of explanation. Yeah. Then you can go even to the 24. I can't remember exactly how it is coming, and then 36 kind of explorations, mental explorations. So likewise, different ways of analysis.
Same thing, getting multiplied.
Multiplied and give more detailed analysis. Yeah, and either in the 5 aggregates, another analysis. Okay, then we can wind up the session. So thank you very much for active participation. Maybe, definitely, yes. Because it's a very interesting situation where someone has accused him, and then Venerable Moggallana is making an announcement to everyone. Now Venerable Sariputta is making a Sehanada, you better all come. But that Sehanada does not mean the typical today's kind of thing. It's a more humble kind of thing. Okay, then we'll wind up. Thank you very much for the invitation. Okay, no problem. But then we will have fans for one thing. You have to borrow the fan. It's just one fan here.
No, we'll bring.